This is music from Brian Blade. Welcome to The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Drummer Brian Blade gives us some of his favorite landmarks, physical, natural, and personal. Landmarks is also the name of his recording with the Fellowship Band. The man I love. Cassandra Wilson wooed and wowed audiences with her debut on Blue Note Records, Blue Light Till Dawn. Now, 2 decades after rising to fame, the singer reflects on making that album, one she says marked the discovery of her sound. But first, what do you get when you synthesize drummer Mark Juliana and pianist Brad Meldow? It's the humanly robotic Meliana. Mark Juliana tells us how the electro unit gelled. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. Mark Juliana, thank you for joining us on The Checkout.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Meliana, congratulations. You're in a band that starts with meh, but it's actually pretty good.
Thank you very much.
The combination of Brad Meldow and Mark Juliana. This thing started at the Falcon, did it not?
It did. That was the first public appearance.
In Marlboro, New York.
Exactly. The first time we got together to play was 2008, actually. And it was just a very casual environment. Brad came out to my rehearsal space in Jersey City, and we just kind of rustled up all the gear that was out there and created this little kind of keyboard setup. And it wasn't until that gig at the Falcon, which was during Hurricane Irene, actually. We just improvised for an hour and a half. And towards the end of 2012, we kind of solidified the idea of the project and it kind of entered a more official status.
How do you come to terms with that when you say, collectively, the two of you, this is going to be this?
I think for me, an exciting part of the project is that we never really said that. The one rule was that it was just the two of us. That was the rule. Other than that, it was wide open. I think, you know, the use of electronics allowed the duo sound to be much bigger. I think, you know, it allows Brad to function as a bass player and function as a soloist and function as a, you know, an accompanist all at once. And I'm trying to hold my own.
Was there any track on Taming the Dragon that seemed less about being in the studio and more about simply, all right, it's you and me, let's go for this?
I think it's the second track, Lux. It's called Lux because we were in Luxembourg. We recorded the gig in Luxembourg, and that came out of a completely improvised moment that we, so I took it into the computer and isolated those 8 or 10 minutes that we thought were special. And then we kind of listened to that a few times and inserted it into the repertoire.
Thank you. Meliana. Mark Giuliano joins us on the checkout. You're in these concurrent projects, Now Versus Now, with Jason Lindner. You did with Sean Whalen, Click Track Jazz, Slave to the Machine. Do these things, did they inform each other in some way?
I think with Jason, it's different because we have a long relationship, the longest relationship of the guys you mentioned. So we first started playing in 2003, and we really bonded on our shared influences, and especially in a more electronic realm. And I feel like we've done a lot of, and I see it as kind of research and development, especially in modern music that's changing every day, and electronic music, I think, is certainly changing on the hour, you know. But I think Jason and I feel like we were kind of in the trenches and doing a lot of that homework together. So I think in Now Versus Now, I can feel the developments that, you know, remembering the stages of that band for sure. I'm very spoiled in the sense that I'm very grateful that in the projects you mentioned, I was called to kind of be myself, which is, to me, humbly, it's the biggest compliment that I can receive as a collaborator.
Be what? Be who?
I think, musically, well, first of all, that's a very intimidating question, but the musical answer, if you mean when someone asks me to play like myself or be myself on the instrument inside the music, I think a lot of it, the first thing is sound. Me being myself means I just try to be honest with myself and allow all of my influences to be present when I play. I really think what makes all of us unique is that we are a unique combination of our influences. So I think it's a shame when people suppress certain influences. When I was younger, I used to have my jazz influences and my rock influences and my electronic influences, and they were all separate. So when I was on a jazz gig, I could only access my jazz influences, or vice versa. On a rock gig, I would only tap into my rock influences. But I found that I was ignoring the majority of 70 to 80% of, you know, my influences. So to me, Dave Grohl and Tony Williams are equals to me. You know, Dave Grohl is one of the reasons, one of the first drum heroes of mine, one of the reasons I started playing drums. Tony Williams is probably one of my biggest influences, maybe on a more sophisticated level, you know, on the instrument itself. When I allowed all those guys to just hang out together in my mind, I think it changed my playing for the better, because I wasn't judging any of them as, or any of these influences, or any of my own decisions as they were happening.
My own dream.
My own
Can't Go Back Now, Meliana, Taming the Dragon. Mark Giuliano joins us on the checkout. It seems to me that one could listen to Taming the Dragon and think about these songs as set pieces, and yet to go and witness the music live, it totally changes. Even though you'll hear the strand of Hungry Ghost, but then it's becoming something else. Do you already feel it becoming something else?
Definitely. Even the show at the Highline, that was technically the record release show. And we played, the first three pieces were not from the record. They were, one of them was an idea we found in soundcheck that Brad wanted to start with. And you know, you could look at it two ways. It could either be scary because all your friends are there and you want to come out with a bang and, well, why don't we play Hungry Ghost? We know that one, you know? But really, it was exciting to just play something new, because really that is what the project is really based around.
Thank you for joining us on the checkout.
Thanks for having me.
Hungry Ghost from Meliana's Taming the Dragon on Nonesuch Records. Mark Giuliana on percussion, and Brad Meldow on keyboards. Coming up next, Cassandra Wilson on the moment she discovered her sound. That's with WBGO's Simon Rentner. Up next, this is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
In 1993, Cassandra Wilson released her debut on the Blue Note record label, Blue Light Till Dawn. Although the singer made several albums before this, Blue Light Till Dawn marked a new direction for the artist. This path was not limited to a specific style, philosophy, or set of repertory. Instead, this recording openly embraced music by Robert Johnson, Van Morrison, Joni Mitchell, and a lot of songs by herself. I'm happy to welcome Cassandra Wilson to the checkout.
Well, thank you, Simon. It's a pleasure.
So at this moment, I just want you to take us back 20 years, maybe a few months before the 20 years, and what was going on in your life leading up to this date?
Well, it was a very exciting time. It was a time for reconnecting with the guitar, which I think is the most important part of that whole project, was reuniting with an instrument that really opened doors for me in the past when I was a child. And it did the same thing for me again as an adult.
I gotta keep moving, blues falling down like hay. There's a hellhound on my train.
What kind of memories do you have as a child hearing some of the music specifically on this recording?
Well, as a child and as an adolescent, I was particularly drawn to the singer-songwriter. People like Joni Mitchell and Van Morrison, James Taylor, that whole world opened up to me in high school. You know, after desegregation, we were exchanging albums, and you know, my musical taste was just broadened by that. And so it was a pretty important time for me as a musician to tap into that. I call it a relatively lonely world, you know, the singer-songwriter, because as Joni Mitchell says, you're singing to the sound hole. What is it, the sound hole on your knee?
The song that you sing of hers on this album, Black Crow, the lyrics give off a feeling of solitude and in this world on your own.
Yeah, there's a great deal of solitude that you sense in that song. And it's wanderlust, it's solitude, it's all of those things that I think artists experience, particularly the singer-songwriter, who begins the process really with the guitar. And it never ends. It is a solitary journey, and it's one you have to be comfortable with if you're going to pursue this line of work.
I'm like a black crow, flying. Took the ferry to a highway, then I drove to a pontoon plane. I took the plane to a taxi, then a taxi to a train. I've been traveling so long, how am I ever gonna know my home when I see it again? I'm like that black crow. In a blue sky, in search of love and music, my whole life has been illumination, corruption, diving, 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 diving down to pick up on your shiny little thing that you see, shiny little thing that I see. I'm like the black crow flying in a blue, blue, blue sky.
What are some of these lyrics here that really touched you, especially when you were in high school? I imagine some of these lyrics were very poignant to you.
Well, by the time Black Crow comes out, I'm in college.
Oh, okay.
I think that's from his year. Wow, the lyric is just amazing. You know, when she talks about her travels and how she took a taxi and a taxi to a train, I took a train to a, I forget the lyric, but you end up on a pontoon plane.
Yeah, and there's corruption involved in diving and...
Diving down to pick up on something shiny.
It sounds like life.
It is. There's so much of life and so much of the traveler inside of this lyric, and the artist as a traveler in society, having to always be outside of the corruption, but inside of it at the same time to draw a picture of it, to paint a picture of it.
I feel like this album is a landmark for you in many ways. The album before it, I believe, Blue Skies, mostly contained jazz standards. And before that, you were collaborating with people from M-Bass on the GRT label. And this album was sort of your coming out party that, in a way, kind of defined your sound for the decade to come. Is that sort of accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate, I'd say. After the years with the M-Bass, I sought out a space, an environment that was a little less congested, it pared down. And Craig Street, I think, heard that, and he was the one who really suggested that I try that different approach. And I don't know if I really heard my voice until I was inside of that, you know, something more pared down, something that was guitar-based, because my voice really rings well with the guitar.
Come On In My Kitchen, Cassandra Wilson singing Robert Johnson. Now, that can't be an easy thing to do.
Well, it was very familiar, actually. When I started to dig into the repertoire of Robert Johnson, one thing that immediately struck me was that here's a man who's playing the guitar that has all of these wild improvisational moments. And as jazz musicians, we need to be able to recognize this. And I think that so many of that generation and really a lot, you know, past that generation, our generation of musicians, jazz musicians, aren't aware of that. And perhaps it's because they haven't broken it down or they haven't listened to it well, but this is the beginning of jazz music. This is, you know, you're talking about blues, which is only a few hundred miles away from where jazz was allegedly born, New Orleans. People don't really have a sense of the geography and how close it is.
Cassandra Wilson joins me on The Checkout. We're revisiting music from Blue Light Till Dawn, her debut Blue Note recording. Well, I'm glad you said that this is still a jazz album, because even though there are a lot of songs not typically performed by jazz artists, it still has this jazz sensibility. And especially, I think of that with Children of the Night. In the way you arrange that tune, only a jazz musician could think of an arrangement like that from the original stylistics version of Children of the Night.
Well, I have to give credit to Brandon Ross for that arrangement. I think we were sitting in the studio. This is at the beginning of the session. And also Vinks. Vinks is a part of this, a very important part of this. You know, he helps to bring it in. And once we get it going, once we get that rhythm going, it's really easy to interpret it, you know. And I was really, really happy with the way it came out.
Into the darkness of the night, all alone. I'll walk the streets until I find someone who is just like me, searching for some company.
What I really like about your version of Children of the Night, Cassandra Wilson, is it has this magnificent build to the climax when you say Children of the Night. I don't think the original really had that so much. I mean, it does, but you really bring it out in your version.
Yeah, there is a motor. You get the sense that the motor is you know, gradually grinding and grinding and grinding and getting to the point where it's like there's a solid, you know, release. And it happened naturally, if my memory serves me. I think we just all gathered and grew together. We grew that rhythm.
I'll walk each street until I find someone who just like me, searching for some company. Children of the night. Children of the night.
Sandra Wilson is here on The Checkout, and we're talking about Blue Light Till Dawn, her debut recording on Blue Note. So when you recorded this album, I'm sure it got a lot of play. I imagine it sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It puts you sort of on the globe as an international artist, for sure. Your life pretty much changed, didn't it?
Yes. You could say so. Yeah, things were never going to be the same. I remember being so amazed and so anxious about all of the press. There was a a whole lot of interviewing that I had to do, and I was just so unaccustomed to it that I thought, okay, well, can't we just put that off?
Cassandra Wilson, would you give me some Tupelo honey?
Yes. What kind of Tupelo honey would you like? It's a wonderful brand of honey. Well, I actually have some at home. I'm sorry I didn't bring any with me, but I can definitely send it to you.
Now, did you actually have to taste this honey before you could do this song? Is that a requirement?
Well, actually, that's the only kind of honey I purchase is Tupelo honey. And that's always been, because we have a Tupelo, Mississippi. So I always purchase Tupelo honey because it reminds me of home.
Drop it straight to the deep ocean. She's as sweet as Tupelo.
When I heard the original version of that song, I was just astonished by the way Van Morrison commanded that lyric.
Mm-hmm.
and you would concur.
You want to know, was I intimidated? Is that what you're about to ask me?
I was. Were you intimidated by trying to do that song?
Actually, no, because I found my own story. I found my own way inside of it. And I think you have to do that with material that's been interpreted, you know, the way that Tupelo Honey has been. You have to attach your own experience and your own special story to the lyric.
And who is that man in your version of Tupelo Honey?
I think about my father, because he's my favorite guy. He's always been my favorite guy. He's always been there for me. He still is there for me. Although he's on the other side, I still feel his presence. He is the one who introduced me to the guitar. He taught me so much about life through music.
Tupelo Honey, performed by Cassandra Wilson. She spoke with our producer, WBGO Simon Rentner. This live recording, along with two additional songs, comes with a reissue of Blue Light Till Dawn from Blue Note Records. Coming up next, drummer Brian Blade talks landmarks, natural and personal. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Brian Blade joins us on The Checkout. Landmarks is the recording for Blue Note Records. You do a bit of traveling with the fellowship. You guys like to drive, don't you?
If possible. It's not always a logistical win, so to speak. You know, sometimes we have to be in California the night after we finish in New York. So, you know, it just prohibits us from getting in the van, as Henry Rollins might say. But I love it if we could stay on the ground more and just sort of see the country as the landscape goes by, you know.
What are some of your favorite landmarks now that you've traveled so extensively?
I really like the openness that the desert lands reveal, you know, being out, you know, like Southern California, the Mojave Desert, that zone. I just remember feeling so much discovery in the middle of seemingly nothing, but everything at the same time, you know, just, you know, this amazing realization that, okay, we're in a ball. The earth is round, Josh Jackson. No, like, you know, yeah, just this curvature in the sky as if you were on the edge of something, you know, and just so all that feeling, you know, just gives this, like, the view of creation, just this incredible boundless magic.
Let's hear a little bit of Landmarks. Thank you. Landmarks, the title selection from Brian Blade and the Fellowship Band. It's a recording on Blue Note Records. Can you tell us a little bit about Landmarks? We talked about one of your favorites and going out and west and seeing the deserts. What's another important landmark that maybe isn't a natural scene, but something man-made?
Well, I don't know if it's man-made, but this particular landmark would have been my meeting John Coward in 1988, and when we were both studying at Loyola University in New Orleans. I just found out recently, John and I, well, the Fellowship Band was on tour on the West Coast, and John and I did an interview together, and he told me that he wrote Landmarks with the thought that this same, you know, often when you're traveling with a group of people, and say you're looking out through the bus window, you can all be looking at the same landscape, the same scene, but you're going to have these six different views or five, you know, however many people are there. You might get that many varying perspectives. So John wrote Landmarks with this thought that, okay, we're going to get to hear Chris's perspective, or see rather, how Chris sees this, and then we're going to get to see how Melvin sees this, and how we see it collectively, you know, as the solos, you know, over these same sections keep unfolding. And to me, you know, the exit of the song, you know, the sort of final section that John solos over, to me, I realized how much deeper and touching, you know, his expression has grown, you know, the way he plays and what he's telling. I can kind of objectively listen and think, wow, man, these guys, you know, they're saying something that touches me. So I love that, you know, that they're not only my dear friends, but the depth of humanity, you know, in the sound is something that I'm so thankful to be a part of. So, yeah, those landmarks, it's hard to say, you know. I was talking with my wife earlier, showing her a bunch of photographs I had taken from, you know, over the years, you know, some things here in Shreveport, and those things aren't there anymore. You know, I just have the photographs. What remains, you know, after the rubble, you know, after things are been torn down? I don't know. It's just interesting. These landmarks, sometimes they're invisible.
Let's talk about a landmark that you just mentioned. You said your wife. I think this is one of the greatest love stories ever, Brian Blade. You have to share it with people. It's incredible.
She was my first love, you know, at 16. And when we met, even though it wasn't my heart to have ever left her, you know, had I been a little more mature or had more courage at the time, that line would not have been interrupted. But, you know, I went away to college, to New Orleans, and basically we didn't see each other for 20 years, you know. That's the long and short of it on the painful side of the coin. But then what you don't see sometimes in life, whether you're a person of faith or not, if you pray, you know, and if you think, oh, I've prayed about it, so God is working it out in his time. If you think that way, as I do, and if you can actually truly believe that, your time, you know, we want it now. I just sent you the email. I need that response 60 seconds later. Life doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes you have to wait and be patient, and hopefully it'll be revealed, you know, what's best. And thankfully, we were restored 20 years later, you know, not knowing if the other was alive, but I could never really let go. 3 years and 3 months ago, we were married, and thankful that that it was being worked out. Sometimes you have to truly turn things over and just, you know, have faith.
Let's talk about state lines and literally some state lines, because the song that follows that introduction is called Arc La Tex, as in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. And you being in Shreveport, Brian Blade, near the Red River, you know that there's literally a point there, a convergence of sorts.
You know, it just all kind of converges there to make this one sort of regional vibe.
What is the Arc La Tex vibe?
Most times when I tell people I'm from Shreveport or I say Louisiana, they always talk about New Orleans, rightly so. It's the cradle of so much. It's that port where so many come in from the Gulf, from the river, up where we are from in northwest Louisiana. There's more the center of the country that permeates where we live, you know, not only in the weather, but in the sound of country music and gospel and other elements. You know, not that the second line didn't quite make it this far north, but in a way it didn't. You know, you can cut the state in half diagonally from Lafayette through Alexandria, and then you have this other feeling that incorporates Texas and Arkansas and maybe a little bit more of the plains, so to speak.
Are you a country boy, Brian Blade? Is that what I'm hearing?
Essentially, I am a country boy. You know, this is, you know, there's that simple value of common Southern courtesy that you acknowledge everyone you pass, whether you know them or not.
Thank you.
La Tex. Music from Brian Blade and the Fellowship Band, with John Coward on piano, Myron Walden and Melvin Butler on saxophones, Chris Thomas bass, and Marvin Sewell on guitar. The Blue Note recording is called Landmarks. Did you know? The Checkout is a podcast. Subscribe to all this wonderful music and information on iTunes. And while you're there, give us a rating and a review. Help us spread the word about this show. All of our programs are archived feature by feature on our website. Visit us at checkoutjazz.org and share us with your friends. And you can stay in the know. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. He's on Twitter at Simon Rentner. Special thanks to our production assistant and intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.